Have you always wanted to have a program on the radio? If you can talk on the phone, you can have your very own program on Holy Ghost Radio 2. You can produce your program, or we can help you produce it. For more information, tap on the ad panel on our app or contact us through our website, www.holyghostradio.com. The following program is brought to you by an independent producer. The opinions expressed on the program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or ownership of Holy Ghost Radio.
But you could text me and let me know that. 701-290-7862. You could also email me, robertsimons58@gmail.com. I won't be taking any phone calls. We've got a lot of people texted me already. The award to the earliest texter is Brother Griffith in Great Falls, Montana. Texted me probably an hour ago or more. Brother Johnson listening in our Amarillo, Texas. We've got Nathaniel in Park River, North Dakota. We've got Sister Brett's in Kildare, North Dakota. We've got Carl and Jeannie in Michigan. We've got the Millers listening in Golva, North Dakota. Paul Portales listening in Wahpeton. Got more texting right now as we just are looking at this. Tim listening in North Carolina, and just some of you that I don't know your names, but that's fine. Glad that you're let me know that you're tuned in tonight. Just to give you a little information of who I am and what I'm doing, Pastor Bob is the pastor of the New Life Pentecostal Church in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's 501 Elks Drive, right on Interstate 94. If you're ever on your way through, you can't miss it. Big old sign right on the interstate, big old building. We just appreciate all the things that God has done for us and the new visitors. We had a bunch of people missing today. A bunch of people from our church chose the same Sunday to be gone for different reasons, visit family and vacation and so on. But then we made up for it in some visitors. That was exciting to see. Sometimes it does my heart good to see people from our jail ministry. There was a man named Sam that showed up to church today. I met him in the county jail many years ago, and a very angry man when I met him. But then he, just through a series of events, began to turn his life around. He went to the state penitentiary, then to federal prisons, and just was released a couple years ago. And now he has no more parole, so he could travel outside the state. He came to visit our church today, and I was just excited about that. Be not weary in well-doing, because you will reap if you faint not. And just keep casting that seed, and God will bring the increase. He really will. I've never, I never considered myself the greatest preacher or evangelist or anything like that. I do believe in the fivefold ministry. We do get people here to come and help us preach and pray people through to the Holy Ghost and so on. But I do know this, if you just are faithful casting the seed, that you will see results as long as you don't give up. And I've lived long enough now to see the results, and I want to see more results. One of the reasons I was just praying when I came into the studio, Lord, we've been on this radio station for many, many, many years, and I just pray that there are everlasting results from this. I don't want to just waste my time or your time, but I want to be effective. This isn't my topic tonight, but I'm just rambling. Pastor Bob, all I've got is what I'm giving you. That's all I've got. If you don't want to listen to this, or you don't want to follow what I have, it's very, very difficult for me sometimes when I see people, especially people that I know, going astray and walking the wrong way. But this is all I have, is the Word of God and the delivery that God has given me to give it. And I just hope people, if I can't help you, I hope you can find somebody that can. We know God can, but He does use people. And so, if you listen, I believe that God can help you, and He can use this program to tell it like it is program to help you. And so we're certainly, our target audience is right here within the Dickinson, North Dakota area. It's so fun to have people from all over the country and sometimes the world listening. That's enjoyable, but certainly I've never forgotten that our target audience is right here in Dickinson, North Dakota, where a beautiful city, many religious people, many people that are good people, good family people, and they just need to hear about this Acts 2:38 message that can transform their life, if it's good, to something even better. and if it's bad, to something that's really good. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I had so much fun preaching in church today. I love preaching messages of new birth, and you can turn this around, and that's what I preached today, and that's what I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to preach the same thing. If you were in church today, some of you that have texted me, we're in our service today. I'm going to preach the same thing. Oh, we've got Sister Yvonne and Sister Marn listening in Bowman tonight, and we've got Sister Becky listening. And when I mentioned Amarillo, Texas, she said that's only 2 hours from her hometown. So, Brother Johnson, you are 2 hours away from a very famous lady that grew up named Becky. And so that's a nice connection. I want to turn your attention tonight, and this is where we're going to jump into this. I did bring my guitar, Brother Portellis, but I don't have a clue of what song I could sing. Like, I don't have a song in my head. I don't know why, but I just don't. So maybe one will pop in while I'm kind of struggling here. But in Matthew chapter 26 and 6, I want to just start here. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now, this story that Matthew tells in Matthew 26, 6 and 7 was also told in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. And it also, this in Mark, in Luke 7 and 36, it tells the story in much greater detail. We even see how Jesus rebuked Simon the leper. And that, of course, adds a different dimension to the story. The Gospels many times are retelling the same story, adding more detail or less detail, depending on which gospel it's in. Same story, just you know, more detail. Well, then also in Mark 14:34, the Bible talks about Simon the leper, the same story. Now, there's a bunch of Simons mentioned in the New Testament. There's seven Simons. My name is Simons, but there are, mine is with an S, Simons, S-I-M-O-N-S. But there are seven Simons. They're, you know, they're named Simon, and they're, so when I pluralize it, it's seven Simons. I think there was, you know, Simon, Peter Simon, you know, Simon Peter, you know, that's the most that's mentioned. The word Simon is mentioned, the name Simon is mentioned over 70 times in the New Testament. There's, Jesus had a half-brother named Simon. What I mean by half-brother, Mary was Jesus' mother, but Joseph was not Jesus' father. And Mary and Joseph went on to have more children together, which is a surprise to some of you Catholics, because you were taught that Mary was a virgin all of her life, even after Jesus was born. Well, she was only a virgin up until Jesus was born. And after that, the Bible says that she had other children. But these would be half-brothers and sisters to Jesus, and one of their children was named Simon. So Jesus had a brother named Simon. There was Simon the leper, who we're going to talk about tonight. There was Simon the Cyrenian, who carried the cross of Jesus. Judas Iscariot's dad was named Simon. Not that that matters, but anyway. And then there was Simon the Tanner in the book of Acts, and then Simon the Sorcerer in the book of Acts. But tonight I want to talk about Simon the leper, and this is just a neat place to start. And I felt like I say, in church today, I had a lot of joy preaching this message. I love to preach messages about you can start over again, that you are not destined to be a loser. And this label that the gospel writers give Simon is not correct. Now, this certainly was the way people identified him, Simon the leper. But Simon the leper in this story in Matthew 26 could not have had leprosy at this time, because not that Jesus was afraid of leprosy. We know that because he healed lepers. But there were Old Testament laws forbidding people with leprosy to be in the public. And Simon had a bunch of people over at his house in this story. And so we know that he was more accurately called, should have been called, Simon, who used to be the leper. That's the way it should have been called. The reason that I know this is true is because I've just recently been doing some reading about and listening to my Bible about all the rules of leprosy in the Old Testament, and there's no way that he could have been Simon the leper. Now, Simon could have had scars in his body from leprosy, from previous leprosy, but they identified him as Simon the leper, and that was not exactly correct. And you say, well, so what is the big deal? Have you already tuned me off? Have you already turned me off? Like, thinking this isn't even making, I'm going to go somewhere with this, and I think it's going to help somebody. And if you're a person that maybe is a backslider tonight, or a person that's facing problems in your life of addiction or anger or, whether it's drug addiction, pornography, just maybe terrible habits that you feel like you can't change, and you feel like those things have identified you, like you think you're Simon the angry person, or Simon the alcoholic, or whatever you are. I want to talk tonight about how these are not correct. It seems like I'm really wading into this kind of slow. Let me read 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. It says, I'll read just for verse 10 now. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Now, fornicators are people having sexual relations outside of marriage, marriage defined by the Bible between a man and a woman. So any type of sexual relation outside of that type of marriage between a man and a woman is called fornication. It's a big general term of sexual sin. Nor idolaters. Now, these are people that not only worship idols or use idols in their worship, or even maybe idolize rock stars or Hollywood stars or so on. Nor adulterers. This is a specific type of sexual sin between married people. Nor effeminate. Now, this would be men that are acting and dressing like women, trying to be a feminine person when they're really masculine, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. This is just a New Testament way of saying homosexuality. Gay, people would say gay nowadays. It says these people aren't going to heaven, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this isn't some obscure Old Testament passage that's talking about poking somebody's eye out. This is a New Testament. Now, did you notice in this list that it didn't mention leprosy? It didn't mention diabetes. This was not mentioned on the list. Well, the reason they weren't mentioned is because these all things that Paul said here, if you do these things, you're not going to heaven. These are things you do. They're not who you are. Like, if you have leprosy and you have it, you could be called Simon the leper. Or if you have diabetes, you could be called Simon the diabetic. And those would be true. But what about Simon the alcoholic? You say, well, why could that not be true? Well, I'm gonna build a whole program and tell you why it's not. Now, people identify themselves in strange ways today, and I'm going to just come against it right away, and anybody here that's ever been in a drug treatment program or any type of thing called like AANA, and it's helped you, I'm glad for that. Thank God for that. But there's things that are said in those meetings that I don't agree with. I went to an NA meeting many years ago because somebody encouraged me to go because they said, you got a great story, you should come to my NA meeting, Narcotics Anonymous. So I did. And around the table, people introduce themselves as, I'm Bill, the drug addict. I'm Sue, who's chemically addicted. I'm Joe, the alcoholic. And when it came to my turn, I said, I'm Bob, and I used to be a drug addict, but I'm not anymore. And they were like, the table instantly got really polarized, and people were really upset because I said something wrong. I didn't realize this was not how you fit into the meeting. But I'm not Bob the alcoholic or Bob the drug addict. My life is not defined but by what I used to do. You know, I sure hope that I can get across what I want to. It went so well in church, it seemed like, today. But, you know, there's another Simon in the book of Acts chapter 8, and it said one who before time had practiced sorcery, and everybody thought he was a great person. But when he heard Philip's preaching, he also repented and was baptized. But he didn't quite get it yet, and there's a lot to that story. I always wondered what happened to Simon the sorcerer after Peter rebuked him. And Simon said, please pray for me. You know, it didn't seem like he was a proud person, like he wanted prayer. I'd like to think Simon, the former sorcerer, stayed a former sorcerer, and now was Simon the born-again man. That's what I'd like to think about him. I don't know what you think about him or not. But you see, it's one thing to describe somebody. Like in the book of Acts chapter 9, Peter was in 9 and 10, Peter was staying at a man's house who was named Simon the Tanner, who lived by the sea. You see, I'm okay with that title because this man tanned hides, so he was a tanner. That's what he did. That's what he was doing, and he lived by the sea. It was an identification, Simon the Tanner. But not Simon the alcoholic or Simon the homosexual. If I haven't confused you already, I hope I can clear this up and help you. We've got people listening tonight, 701-290-7862. It's going to get down to the nitty-gritty here in just a minute.
You say you've searched the whole world over, looking for answers you can't find. Every quest has ended in frustration. Now you're running out of time. May I share with you what I've discovered? All you're looking for is not far away. You will find in Jesus every answer if you'll take the time to pray. You don't have to climb the highest mountain. You don't have to sail the farthest sea. Jesus is as close as a prayer that you softly whisper on your knees. You don't have to wait until tomorrow. Please don't let this moment slip away. Jesus is as close as a prayer if you'll only take the time to pray. So many times you've fallen victim, flattered by a smile and easy charm, then humiliated by betrayal, caught in the embrace of selfish arms. Does it seem your confidence is broken? You can't bring your heart to trust again. Can you hear the gentle voice of Jesus? He wants to be your closest friend. Does it seem your friends have all forsaken, and you feel abandoned in your shame? Jesus is as close as a prayer if you softly whisper his name. You need to know you have a friend in Jesus. He will never turn and walk away. Jesus is as close as a prayer. Would you like to take the time to pray? You
climb the highest mountain. You don't have to sail the farthest sea. Jesus is as close as a prayer that you softly whisper on your knees. You don't have to wait until tomorrow. Please don't let this moment slip away. Jesus is as close as a prayer. Would you like to take the time to softly whisper on your knees. You don't have to wait until tomorrow. Please don't let this moment slip away. Jesus is as close as a prayer if you'll only take the time to pray.
Pastor Bob, the Tell It Like It Is radio show. Good to have you with us tonight. And thank you for all the communication. We love doing this radio show. Hope you enjoy it also. Talking tonight about Simon the leper and how he couldn't have been a leper at this point. People identify, left off by saying people are identifying themselves as I'm Simon the alcoholic, or I'm Simon the drug addict, or I'm Simon the homosexual. Do you really believe that? Does society really believe this? I think it's not only bad science, but it's obviously invented to excuse behavior that is destructive or sinful. In other words, I can't help it. This is who I am. Or also, I think the devil uses it to trap people into hopelessness. In other words, I've always been like this. I can't change. I've tried to change before. I've gotten better for a few days, and then I go back to the same old thing. You know, like maybe somebody from that's lived a life of incarceration. I know that I've been involved with prison ministry for many, many years. Lately, we haven't been allowed to go into the jails because they're afraid of COVID, I guess. I'm not afraid of it. But you know, they have policies they have to work with and so on, and so it's not really the fault of our county jail here. But over the years, you know, when I've visited with the workers at the jails, many of them become jaded, like, because they see the same people repeat over and over and over and over and over again. And so you can get to believe that maybe they are Simon the alcoholic, or Simon the violent person, or Simon the thief, or Simon the drug addict, or whatever. You know, maybe because it seems like the evidence is pointing that way, that that's who they are. But this is not true according to the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, I read that list of some of the things Paul mentioned, the people that do these things. He said, they're not going to heaven. They're not going to go to heaven. These are all actions. These are people that are actively doing these things. You could have been an adulterer yesterday, but you may not be one today. Because Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, and such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That verse, as you've heard me say many times, has Acts 2:38 all over it. You know, we're washed, baptized in Jesus' name, sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is baptism in Jesus' name. And by the Spirit of our God, by the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's how we've been changed, and that's why we used to be like that. You know, that's why the New Life Pentecostal Church in Dickinson, if nobody wants you in their church because of your past, we want you. We want you. I don't care what your reputation is. I don't care whose bed you've been sleeping in. I don't care what crime you've committed. We want you in our church. Because we believe in the new birth, in the regeneration, in the renewing of a person. That's what we believe. So you don't have to be Simon the drug addict or Simon the homosexual. Because we believe that this is the land of beginning again. Jesus is in the business of cleaning and renewing. Who you were yesterday does not determine who you're going to be today. And I get tired of these people that they talk in circular reasoning. They think they sound smart. They think they sound, you know, philosophical. You know, when they say things to me like, you know, Pastor Bob, I just don't know who I am anymore. I don't know what I believe. I'm going to quit coming to church, you know, till I can figure out who I am and what I believe. Do you know that makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever? Like, who I am? No, I can't tell you who I am, but I can tell you who I was today. That's about as close as I can get. You know, who I am is a really kind of a fatalistic concept. Like you're this person. Now, some people think they're really great people when they're not. And some people think they're really evil people because they've been evil. But that isn't who you are. Who you are is who you decide to be, because God, as Brother Johnson just texted me, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You don't have to stay in the same rut that you've been in all your life. You know, I don't know when people say, well, I just don't know who I am. You know, I don't know what I believe. That's really dumb. I don't know what I believe. I believe what I tell my brain to believe. That's what I believe. Do I ever have thoughts of doubts like coming to my mind like the Word of God is not true? Yes. Everybody does. But I don't believe that, because I choose to believe the Bible is true. I choose to believe that. And I do believe that because that's what I believe. You know, one of my good friends from Jamestown, Pastor Mike Woods, he's kind of a philosophical guy. I mean, he really is. I like, and when I'm around him, I get a lot of sermons. I do. I just get a lot of sermons from him. And when I hear him preach, I get a lot of sermons. And they're not always the sermon he's preaching, just some of the things he says. But he told me one time, he said, people tell him, boy, I just wished I could live what I believe. And he said, you do live what you believe. Because what you live is what you believe. You see, and that's why we can change. And especially when you add God's help to this whole thing. You know, Jesus, I said it earlier, is in the business of cleaning and renewing. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Like, you were a certain person. You were a non-believer. But he goes on to say, where in time past, you walked in time past, notice that, you walked according to the course of this world, just like everybody else, according to the prince of the power of the air. You were serving the devil even if you didn't know it, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. When I was younger, before I gave my life to Jesus, I was serving the devil. I was listening to his music. I was doing what he wanted me to do, and I didn't even know it until I was 20 years old. And I had a spiritual awakening in my life, and I realized that I was under the power of darkness. I mean, it was an amazing thing, so amazing that I was, it was just this week on October 25th that I threw my drugs into the Cheyenne River in Valley City back in 1978 on October 25th, and I haven't touched them since. Because I had a spiritual awakening. See, I'm not Bob the drug addict. Now, you say, well, Pastor Bob, if you started taking drugs again, you'd still be a drug addict. Absolutely. You see, but that is not what defines my life. People can change with the power of God. The new birth will bring change to your life. Like, you can say, I used to be a homosexual. I used to be a drunkard. I used to be a liar. I used to be Simon the leper. You see, Simon couldn't still be a leper, even though that's what they called him. Because even if without a miraculous healing, people got over leprosy in the Old Testament. And you can read all about it. You know, this radio show tonight, titled Simon the Leper, is to tell you it should have been Simon who used to be a leper. Ephesians 5:8 said, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I wonder if I, you know, it's scary to be on live radio to pick up your guitar and try to sing a song that you didn't practice. Let's see if I can do this song. Oh, let's see. Let's see. How does it even start? The, well, I can't think of it. So I'll sing Paul's song. Paul wanted me to sing this song. He said, sing this song. This is just a little chorus. Here we go. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, I will ever praise you. God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. I will follow you all of my days. I will follow you all of my days, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Just a little chorus there. We've got a bunch of people texting me tonight. My message tonight is that you can change. You don't have to stay the same. You know, just this week, this past week, I was talking to a good friend of mine. His name is Pastor David Puckett. He's the district superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church here in North Dakota. Just a really good man, good leader, organized person. And he was telling me that he was flying out to do a pastoral installation, to officially install a new pastor in a church in Michigan. And the man that he was installing to be the pastor is his nephew, and his name is Douglas. And I looked at him and I said, Douglas? He said, yeah, Douglas. Douglas grew up in the Pentecostal church, but Douglas has battled alcohol for I don't know how many years. And for the most part, without a lot of success. He would try and fall back, try and fall back, has a wonderful wife. And 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I don't know if anybody would have given a nickel for Douglas. Now, I'd like to say I would have, but I just didn't have a lot of hope for him. And now he's a Pentecostal pastor. See, he's not Douglas, the hopeless alcoholic. You know, you need to get this fatalistic stuff out of your head. Paul, in the book of Titus, in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, he said, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Now, did you find yourself in that list in times past? Or maybe even today? Maybe that's who you have been. You were foolish, you were disobedient, you were deceived, you were serving different lusts and pleasures, you lived in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. You know, this man that was in our church today named Sam that I had met many years ago in jail, he was full of hatred when I met him. Very, very angry person. He's sure not now. You see, in Titus it goes on to say in Titus 3 and verse 4, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." This is Acts 2:38. The washing of regeneration is baptism, being born of the water. Renewing of the Holy Ghost is being filled with the Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, you don't have to stay a loser. You know, I used to say something when I'd go to the county jail every once in a while. And I say, when I preached at the county jail, and like I say, I hope we get to go back. If anybody from administration is listening to this radio show, we're not afraid of getting COVID. So we want to go in. You know, we wanted to go in from the day one since we were canceled. And the administration has been very kind to us. They love us. I've got a guy just texting me that... he said, "I'm thankful you do jail ministry." He was in our jail ministry. He lives in Michigan now, married to a really sweet lady named Jeannie, and that really encouraged me. That was a really timely thing. It just popped up on my screen. But I would tell the guys at jail this: if I didn't believe God could change people, I'd never come up here and hang out with you losers. And most of the guys got it. Like, they got it. But one day when I said that, somebody got really mad, and he yelled out, and there was, you know, our services were always full. We had, you know, in that little room, we'd have anywhere from 10 to 25 people in there. And he yelled out, he'd say, "Who are you calling a loser?" And right away I thought, ooh, I stepped across the line. And another prisoner in the room said, "He's right, we're losers. That's why we're in jail. We're here in church because we don't want to be losers anymore." Like, at least he got it. You know, Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, so they didn't have to be lost anymore. I had a federal judge tell me this many years ago. I was at a birthday party in Fargo for one of my wife's brothers, and one of his neighbors or one of his friends was a federal judge. Now, there's only, I think, two of them in the state of North Dakota. He was one of them. He found out I was a pastor, and he said this to me. He said, "We know what works in the penal system, and we know what doesn't work." He said, "It's documented." He said, "It's been studied. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt. We know what works. And what works," or he said, "what doesn't work is locking up people till they learn their lesson." He said, "We know that doesn't work. But what does work is for people to have a spiritual awakening in their lives." And he said, "Because of the separation of church and state, we can't mandate that they do that." And I looked at him and I thought, I was supposed to tell you that. I'm the preacher. You're the judge. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 said, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Notice this verse. You were the servants of sin. Now you're the servants of righteousness. What happened in between, between servants of sin and servants of righteousness. You obeyed from the heart that form of teaching or doctrine which was delivered to you. You heard the gospel and you agreed to it and were willing to obey it, not just believe it. I love some of the slogans that I've seen over the years that I really like. One of them was, it said, the United Pentecostal Church, a Bible-believing church underneath, but they had the word believing crossed out, and they had put in obeying underneath it. A Bible-obeying church. See, these people say, I don't know who I am or what I believe. That's their problem. James said, you can talk about your faith. He said, I'll show you mine. I believe in going to church. How do I know that? Because I go. I don't just say I believe in going and I don't go. Sister Brett's is listening to me. She's just the sweetest lady. She lives in Kildare. And Sister Brett's is older. She doesn't act older. She's just a lot of fun. She's got a really great sense of humor and just really happy. And she's found a ride to church every Sunday now and every Wednesday, and she comes. And whether it's COVID season or whatever, she comes. See, she's not just a church. She doesn't just believe in going to church. She goes to church. That's how you get from servant of sin to servant of righteousness, is by obeying from the heart that form of doctrine which you've heard from the scripture. Boy, I'm getting a lot of people texting, but man, good to have all you listening tonight. We've got, let me just say this in Romans 6:17. Earlier, Paul had talked about baptism. Romans 6:4, he said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. So you're buried in baptism. You're not sprinkled. You're dunked under the water. The word baptism means to immerse. That is, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. So there's our washing away of our sins, washing away of our being Simon the leper to being Simon who used to be a leper, starts with baptism. You know, Acts 22:16, now why tarriest thou? Ananias told Paul, he said, arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. 1 Peter 3:20 says, 8 souls were saved by water in the days of Noah. And verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. In other words, your baptism isn't like taking a bath, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So baptism washes away our sin because we obey it and because God said to obey it. And when baptism is tied in with true repentance, which only people that are older than, you know, they have to be old enough to know how to do that. When that happens, their sins are washed away. And you become a has-been. Used to be a leper. Used to be an alcoholic. Used to be a homosexual. Used to be a thief. Used to be a liar. Used to be angry. You are a has-been. You know, there was a bar across the street from our church in Bowman. They renamed it recently, probably because they heard my radio show, right? But I thought that is the dumbest name for it. Well, it's not as dumb as the one in South Hart. The one in South Hart has the dumber name. There's a bar in South Hart that has just a dumb name to it. But this one in Bowman, it was called the Has-Been's Bar. The Has-Been's Bar. And I thought, even if I was a drinker, I wouldn't go to that place. But I got to thinking about it one day. Yeah, I'm a has-been. I used to be. Such were some of you. I used to be a liar. I used to be a thief. I used to be a drug user. I used to be, a drunkard. And I used to be some of those other things on that list, too. But I've been changed. Boy, I'm not playing any music. I'm not doing any singing. I'm just talking. Let's see here. I wonder if I should catch my breath here. Let me just look, see if I can find a song here. Let's try this one. This is a short little song. Text me tonight. A lot of text, 701-290-7862.
your soul and your spirit with all that you need. His ways are the ways of the truth and perfection. They're not like the ways of a man. His thoughts are the thoughts of a stranger to you. But listen, and you'll understand. You'll fill up your belly with goodness if you'll live by his word every day. And your soul will rejoice in its fatness every step of the way. Turn to the Lord in his mercy. He'll give you the pardon you're needing to find.
Pastor Bob here, the Tell It Like It Is radio show. Thank you for all these texts tonight, 701-290-7862. We have Brother Johnson saying he heard a pastor say today that God's grace exceeds your capacity to fail. We've got Jody listening from Harvey, and Jody's one of these girls that 10 or 15 years ago, nobody had given a nickel for her either. I'm sure many people had written you off, Jody, as you're just going to die a drug user. And you probably didn't even believe yourself you could change. But God, who is rich in mercy, can change us. She's not Jody the drug addict anymore. In fact, Jody just found herself a real nice guy, and she's going to marry him. I got a picture from somebody from Bismarck, and I'm talking about tonight that you're not Simon the leper. You're Simon that used to be the leper. This text is from a guy. His last name is Worley, and he sent me a picture of him when he was in prison, and I didn't have your number here, but that's just an amazing picture. It was a mugshot of him being in prison, and he just said, "Thank God for prison ministry." He's one of the men, and he and his wife are used in ministry in Bismarck, in our Bismarck Pentecostal Church. And I'm telling you, I believe this. I do. And when I quit believing that God can change people, once I start believing, once a con, always a con, I promise you, I'll get out of the ministry. I believe this. I said at the beginning of the show, if you think there's not a church in Dickinson, North Dakota that wants you because of who you've been, you haven't tried our church yet. We've got a lot of people that have always been good people coming to our church. We've got a lot of people that are coming that didn't used to be good people. And we all come together, and you can't tell one from the other anymore. They all cleaned up pretty good. I mean, people, you know, I had a lady visit our church one time and she got mad because everybody was dressed up. You know, people wear their nicest clothes to church. I think that's good. And she got mad and I talked to her. She said, yeah, that just a bunch of, I don't know how she said it, but you know, think you're better than everybody else. And I said, ma'am, you have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea who these people are. You have no idea where they came from. They look pretty good now, but they used to be, some of them used to be sitting in jail. You know, some of them used to be people that were, I mean, just losers. But God's calling all the losers in Dickinson tonight to the New Life Pentecostal Church. You don't have to be a loser anymore. You don't. You know, he's into washing people's sins away. If you've wandered away from God, if you're a backslider tonight, you don't have to stay there. Instead of saying, I am a backslider, you can say, I was a backslider. A backslider wrote Psalm 51, and he said this, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. The man that wrote this had just committed adultery and had the woman's husband, he ordered his death. And he was confronted of his sin by a preacher and he repented. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Jesus is a cleaner. Jesus is a renewer. If you're a backslider, listen to me today. You needed repentance to get right with God the first time. You certainly need repentance now. You needed faith when you came to God at first. And only that faith can bring us to Jesus now. When you were lost in sin before you knew God, you needed a word from God to end your fears, and you need a word from God now. You need to plead with God as though you pleaded for your very life. Lord, renew a right spirit within me. The book of Lamentations chapter 3 says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. Every day, God offers the losers a chance to not be a loser anymore. Simon the leper may have had the marks of leprosy in his body. And there are marks of sin, especially when you get in. That's why I try to hopefully get young people to stay away from it from the very beginning. But I used to be is better than this is who I am now. What I was yesterday, I don't have to be today. That does not define who I am. And it doesn't need to define who you are. Don't let Satan keep pulling you back into this fatalistic concept that, you know, this is who I am, this is how I've always been, this is how my family's always been, whatever. I'm out of time. I mean, I'm just running out of time here. You know, if you want to visit us this week, Tuesday night in Beach at 7:30 at the Beach Community Center, Beach, North Dakota. Wednesday night in Dickinson, 501 Elks Drive, the New Life Pentecostal Church. Thursday night in Bowman, North Dakota, and that's on Main Street, 18 Main Street in Bowman. Right, and then on Wednesday nights in Beulah at the Truth Community Church, 220 3rd Street Northwest, that's 7 o'clock. Sundays in Beulah at 10:30. And Sunday in Bowman at 10:30, And right now we don't have a Sunday service in Beach yet, so you'll have to come to Dickens or one of those other churches if you want to get to an apostolic church. Just as I end this program here, and like I say, I ran myself out of time, this is certainly probably one of my favorite things to talk about, is how you know, I mean, I wished I had time to play the Touch of the Master's Hand tonight, but I don't think I do. I don't. I love that song. But in Genesis chapter 35, verses 18 and 19, we read the story about a lady named Rachel. Jacob's wife Rachel was having a baby, and she was dying. You know, they didn't have the ability to do C-sections back then, and she was dying in childbirth. And she gave birth to the baby, but she was dying. And she knew she was dying, and she did die. And Rachel, because she was dying, they said, you've got a little baby boy, and she named the baby boy Benoni, which means son of my sorrows. And then Rachel died. But you've never really known this boy's, if you know your Bible, you've never known him as Benoni. And the reason you never knew him as Benoni is because his father renamed him after Rachel died. And Jacob named him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand or son of my power. And I heard a preacher say this many years ago, and I've never forgot it. It was Charles Mahaney. I heard him say this, and he said, don't let the circumstances of your life name you, but let your father name you. You know, you don't have to be Bob the alcoholic. You can be Pastor Bob. You don't be trapped in, some of you are so mixed up in your sexual problems that you have, and you think that you were born this way and that you can't do anything about it, and even are defensive about it. But God is a God that can help you. He really can. But you have to obey from the heart that form of teaching that's being delivered to you right now. Lord Jesus, tonight as we close this program, I ask you to help our listeners. Lord, I pray that those that are hopeless tonight, Lord, somehow they can grasp this and believe this, and somehow Satan, that you'll just, I just rebuke Satan and the lying he's doing to people that think they cannot change, when we know what your word says and we know that they can change. I just pray tonight, Lord, that you help us and help them. God, help us to promote this good news of the gospel, that no matter who you are and whose bed you've been sleeping in, that not only do you love them, but you want them, and that you won't leave them the way they are. I just pray in the name of Jesus. All right, folks, if you're from Dickinson, I've been giving out my cell number all night, 701-290-7862. God bless you. Lord willing, we'll be back next Sunday night for another Tell It Like It Is radio show at 8:06 Mountain Time. And if I didn't get to call your name and give you a shout-out for texting or emailing me, I'll try to respond back to you after the program. God bless.
My spirit free. You And I want to tell everyone about you. Tell them how you set my spirit free. You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
You are my life. You are my joy in the midnight. You speak the word. I've been a calm. I know in you I can be strong. You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
You are my life. You are my joy.
Have you always wanted to have a program on the radio? If you can talk on the phone, you can have your very own program on Holy Ghost Radio 2. You can produce your program, or we can help you produce it. For more information, tap on the ad panel on our app or contact us through our website, www.holyghostradio.com. The preceding program was brought to you by an independent producer. The opinions expressed on the program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or ownership of Holy Ghost Radio.